This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing all of us to this place this morning, God, where we can just once again hear your voice speaking to us, Lord, and ministering to us and inviting us into deep and intimate relationship with you. God, we want to thank you for the amazing things that you are doing in our nation, even, Father. Such a pivotal week that has been, Lord, and coming through the elections, we again want to thank you for having your hand upon our nation and, Lord, in the midst of so many differences, protecting our nation, Father, and then this week being able to witness our Chief Justice is going on his knees in Parliament, Lord, and calling upon the name of Jesus. We want to thank you for that miracle, Father. We want to thank you for the other believers that are in Parliament, Lord, standing up for the name of Jesus. It is such an answer to prayer, Lord, and we want to thank you for that. Thank you that you are alive, and that when your people, when they call out to you, Lord, then you hear and you respond from heaven. We want to thank you, Lord, for our president that was sworn in this week, and we want to pray for him, God. We want to pray, Lord, that you will strengthen him with might, Lord, and wisdom, God. We pray that you will surround him with godly counselors. We pray that you will give him the courage and the fortitude, Lord, to act justly in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for your love for our nation. God, we are honored, Lord, to have you in our lives, to serve you, and to know that the best days are yet ahead in our personal lives, Lord, as well as in the history of our nation and the history of this beautiful continent that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've got about 25 people at Encounter One this morning. And at Encounter One, we're just walking through the basics again of water baptism, salvation, Holy Spirit baptism. And being in Burundi, I was again just so overcome by the magnitude of the beauty that the Lord Jesus has given us in terms of what we know. The fact that we know, most of us, as we sit here, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit lives in us and that he stirs fountains of living water inside of us. The fact that we know that we are not saved by our own works and through religion and through our efforts, but we are saved through grace. It is earth-shattering in terms of large portions of the world that are trapped in religion or trapped in idolatry or paganism. And we have so much that God has given us. And I want to encourage you to not despise what the Lord has put in your heart. Don't despise the testimonies. Don't despise what you know concerning God's word. But to trust him for opportunities to share that with people. And this morning we're trusting God to really do awesome things for our brothers and sisters, sharing around the Holy Spirit and sharing around salvation and water baptism and trusting they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some will get baptized. Maybe even some that don't realize how much Jesus loves them will give their lives to him. So last week, Monday, myself, sure, that's the same shirt, all right. Yes, I didn't wash it since then. So myself and the beautiful young man there on my left hand side, Yankor, sitting over there at the back, all to your left, and Philip on my right. Philip is from Shofar Pretoria. He's also on the International Apostolic Team with Yankor and myself, and then Reko Panse Nare, he is a student pastor intern in Pretoria. We went to Burundi basically to go and visit the churches there and to do some apostolic visitations and do an assessment as to what the Lord is doing there. So we were very excited when we left, full of smiles, and that photo was taken in Addis Ababa when we just on our departure from Addis Ababa to Bujumbura. And then the second photo there is on our return. Again, Addis Ababa, there you see us about 10 days later, still smiling, right? A little bit more tired than what we were when we left. I'm smiling in faith there. I'm feeling a little bit fatigued, but it was amazing. God did incredible things and was such a privilege to have been able to be there. And we would not have been able to do it without you guys. Without your prayer. I love the team. It's amazing how you bond. We got into one another's personal space quite a lot. Don't know how many of you guys can remember your mission trips, but boundaries get broken very quickly. You start sharing stuff. And you find out things about people that you Maybe you have forgotten or you didn't know. And it's really amazing just how God has bonded our hearts together. And each one had their own unique gifts and their special personalities. And the Lord has brought all of that together really to do an incredible, incredible work. So one of the first days, we arrived at sort of a government building where we met the administrator. He's the local, almost like the governor of that region. And just outside his office, so it's a small building, but outside his office, that was his view. So it's on this lake, Lake Tanganyika. It's a massive lake. It's the second biggest lake in the world in terms of the volume of water that it holds. Its deepest point is about 1,500 meters, right? 1.5 kilometers, 1.5 kilometers, all right? 1,500 meters. That is crazy deep. That is, yes, like it just blows my mind. And it's a beautiful, beautiful lake. And what struck me just about that picture as we were standing there was just looking out over there, seeing those boats. And realizing that it was in a setting like this that Jesus did most of his ministry, around the Lake of Galilee. And that when he looked at those boats and he looked at those fishermen, that he didn't just see fishermen, but he saw world changers. He saw people who were simple by nature and who didn't have a lot of stuff going for them, but in the hands of Jesus, they turned the world upside down. And I was looking at those little boats and just thinking of you guys back home and thinking about Peter when Jesus asked him to throw his net out on the other side and the fish started coming in. And eventually the fish got so many that he couldn't bring it in by himself and he had to call his brothers to come and help him. They had to call the other boats to come in. And I've got such a tremendous sense of expectation in my heart that what God has planned for us in terms of the harvest in Africa, in terms of what he wants to do in this local community of Somerset West, we need partnership. We need one another. The harvest is plentiful. The river and the lake is deep and there are tons of fish all around us that God wants to save. But it's going to require each one of us to bring our little boat. Bring it to Jesus. Ask him again. Maybe some of us need to ask him, Jesus, show me where I must cast my net. As Francie shared with us as well, maybe some of us have, at one stage, we believe Jesus for amazing things. And we've grown weary through the storms of life. We've grown weary through our own disappointments. To trust him, Jesus, show me where the fish are around me. Where are those that are needing to get saved? It's a hilly country in Bujumbura, Malawi. Malawi, Tanzania, no, Burundi. I didn't sleep much the last couple of days, so pray for me. So a hilly country, and you would see the little houses at the bottom of the hills, and this is one hill, and then behind it, there's another hill. And all of the churches, the 12 churches that Shofar Burundi, what they've planted, they're all up in the hills, most of them. And so he would often walk for about 30, 40 minutes to get to church. And it was amazing to see just the commitment of the people, how they just passionately loving Jesus, walking to where they need to get to. And there's this beautiful verse that says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who proclaim good news. And I was just, again, struck by the fact that God has before us mountains that he wants us to conquer. And each one of us, as we're sitting in this room, we've got challenges. I know we've got things in our family, we've got things in our businesses, we've got things in our personal health maybe. But I want to encourage you not to allow the mountains that you are facing, maybe in your physical life, to intimidate you out of, again, just taking on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Because God says, even on your mountains, if you would know that he's given you a good message, if you will know that he's given you good news to proclaim, he can level the mountains in front of you. He can give you the strength to conquer those mountains. And we went to this one church called Shofar Galilee, all right? Just go to the next slide. And it's quite high up. We drove with the 4x4, Pastor Everest. He's got a Prado. And I sat in the front of that vehicle, and I prayed almost every day, Jesus, thank you for your protection. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. But it was an amazing journey to be able to travel with that thing up the mountains. And then when the 4x4 couldn't go anymore, the picture doesn't give you a good accurate reflection of how high that is. We would walk up further. And this specific church, what they have right now is just the sand I've got a couple of stones there. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see Philip there taking part of just taking the hammer, beating the rock. So they're busy laying the foundation. And arriving at one of the churches and seeing old people, seeing young people, all contributing to build God a house was an amazing experience. To see the humility, to see the partnership, to see how they all of them doing this as volunteers. And I thought to myself, man, this is incredible. Yeah, living stones submitted to the purpose of God. And I was reminded of you guys back home and what the Lord is doing in us now as living stones, showing each one of us our place. And we don't have to build a physical church building. Maybe one day God will give us that opportunity to do that. But we don't have physical stones to work with, but we've got spiritual stones. We've got spiritual material that the Lord has given us. And I want to encourage you again to take your hammer, the hammer of the Holy Spirit, the hammer of the Word, and just in the Spirit say, yes, Jesus, I want to build. I want to build. I want to be part of what you are doing. And I want to show you a clip quickly. Carol, if we can go to that first one where we're heading to church, right? So we're driving to church in the vehicle, in the rain. It doesn't rain this time of the year. When we arrived, we had some rain. And just quickly want to give an idea as to the environment there.
We're driving in the rain. It never rains this time of the year. Now we're raining. It's raining.
We have more space now than we had in the minibus yesterday.
Yeah. Heading to Sinai.
Now we are heading to Sinai.
Oh, there's lots of space.
Yeah.
Come join us in the back. That's where the fun side of the island.
You guys look like that script's just good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sure. Abundance.
Sure.
What do the guys there at the back say?
Say hello.
Hello.
Say, we love Liverpool.
No. Don't say that. They will not say it.
I'm sure you can say it. Pastor Emery, you can say it.
I love Liverpool.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I took the gospel of Liverpool there as well. But we had lots of fun. Don't switch me off, sound guys. We had lots of fun. And what was beautiful to see was just their family really loving the Lord. Everest and his wife, Gorith, they're so in love with one another. It's crazy. And to see a couple like that who are held in very high esteem in their culture, they love one another. He had to pray for, I think, for 8 years or something. He's a Hutu. She's a Tutsi. And the families hated the fact that they wanted to get married. So there was a lot of persecution towards Asad. She was physically abused and beaten up for wanting to marry him, and the Lord brought them together, and it's an amazing testimony. They've got five beautiful children, which is sort of, when we're here in our environment, we say five, you're like, wow, that's a lot. They're like, wow, are you done? So many of the pastors there, like 9, 10, 11, 11 kids. So they only have five kids, three boys and two girls. And the girls are trusting the Lord to come and study medicine in South Africa. So please pray for them. So we're heading to church, and it took us about 40 minutes to get there. And church service, it's an amazing experience. All right, it took us about 6.5-7 hours through the entire church service. All right, so you have church, and then you have church, and then you have some more church. All right, so there was quite a great experience to see. It's a baptism service thrown in there. It's pastors being dedicated, it's worship, it's offering being taken up. At the end of the service, they announce how much money came in today, and this complete transparency. So everybody comes together from all the different congregations. They walk far. It's incredible to see the love and the way people just have everything in common. And so heading back after one of our first days, I asked Pastor Everest just to give some feedback on the day. So if you can play the one that says Everest giving feedback on the way from Sinai. So Shofar Sinai was up on the mountain. So we've got Shofar Bethel, Shofar Galilee, Shofar Sinai, Shofar Horeb, all the biblical names up on the mountains. All right, so the one that
After
says feedback.
A wonderful day up in the mountains, Mount Sinai, fantastic day of teaching and fellowship. Pastor E.
Yes.
Give us your take on today. How did you find today?
As I drive, I'm driving with the new anointing. I'm having a new anointing because we got enough training, especially it was like replenishing, rebuilding our whole, our hearts and all our spiritual life. Today was a day of a turning point whereby we say it was a new experience for some, especially the infilling of the Holy Spirit for the first time.
Yes.
So we thank God for your visit and we thank God for your impact. It's, you are impacting our spiritual life and the church as the leaders. Today they express their really thanks to you that you are helping us climbing in a new mountain.
Amen.
A spiritual mountain. And we will be able to serve the Lord in a new dimension with new energy, spiritual energy. So it was a wonderful day today.
Praise God.
Thank you.
What an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so you saw how the car went. That wasn't off-road, that was the road. Okay. Don't think it's been fixed in 40, 50 years of the Civil War. So again, just sharing. So we had the pastors together and we're sharing around water baptism. We're sharing about Holy Spirit baptism. And it flipped their world. I'm going to ask for a show of hands, but I think many of us in this room, most of us, we've been water baptized, been filled with the Holy Spirit. That would make you a leader within that environment, just being able to share that with people. And so it was amazing to see how God is bringing in revival in Burundi. Most of the churches there are mainline churches, and slowly but surely, people are becoming aware of the fact that there is someone like the Holy Spirit, becoming aware of the fact that baptism doesn't just mean, so it's sort of a three baptisms away in which you could be baptized, sprinkled as a little baby, or then water thrown over your head, and then obviously being baptized in water, which is the biblical way. So it was amazing to see pastors just also standing up and saying, wow, we've been wrong all this time, and we want to change, and we want to lead with obedience. So we went up to this one church called Horeb. I go to the next slide, which was quite a walk going up there. And what I realized just going up to that church was the fact that, you know, very often God calls us to go places and we focused on our destination. But sometimes you've got to stop and you've got to admire the view. You've got to stop, you've got to look around. I mean, we've got an incredible view over here as well. You know, but beyond the physical view, I realize that often in our lives we can become so focused here on going to the next thing and to the next day and having to do the next thing, we forget to stop spiritually. We forget to look around. We forget to appreciate the things that are around us. And so what we learned in Burundi and experienced there was that, you know, there is a time in our lives where we have to just slow down a bit. Take in the environment. Appreciate the mountains. Appreciate the ocean. Appreciate our family. Appreciate the beautiful people that God has given us. Because we're not guaranteed that we will have those things 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Maybe 2 years from now even. And sometimes we live as if all the things that we have around us now will be with us forever. So I was just personally challenged again, especially being away from home, to say the things that I need to say, to appreciate the people around me, to love them, to not wait till one day before I want to say what I needed to say, before I make right with whom I need to make right with. And we had a lovely walk up there when we arrived, right on the top, sort of midway up. They were busy building another church there as well. And you often get to a place on the mountains where you think, I've now reached the end, and there's another mountain behind that. And so all the people, they come from different areas coming to worship and coming to fellowship at these mountains. One of the highlights was just coming to this place where they'd rolled down a massive boulder from the mountain to celebrate. You can't see it now, but on it says, Livingstone and Stanley, 1871. So there was the place a couple of hundred meters away from there where Dr. Livingstone and Stanley met one another, 1871. And so it was incredible. I didn't even know that before we went there, that it was there in Burundi that these two men met one another. And most of us, I think, know the story of Livingstone, how he pioneered a way into Africa, where he went where few people had gone before, at least few Europeans, no Europeans have gone before him. And he went there because he had this massive, overwhelming desire to destroy the slave trade. And he trusted and he hoped and he believed that if we can take the gospel and we can take trade in goods and the gospel to the poor, if we can take that in them, we can empower people and raise them up economically, we can actually break the backbone of the slave trade. And it's amazing to realize that there's still, I believe, what God wants to do in Burundi. That God wants to come and he wants to, through the gospel, empower people, raise them up, lift them up. You know, much of what we experience in an environment like this is because the gospel that they can root in this nation. The prosperity that we in the West very often experience because of biblical principles. We've walked away from those biblical principles in large sections of our society, but the truth remains the Bible speaks into every facet of society as well. And standing there by that rock, I was just thinking about legacy. And I was thinking about the difference that one man can make. And it was fascinating to read up on him a little bit. He had come to South Africa first as a young man. And he went to Kuruman. Does anybody know where Kuruman is? Up there in the way up north, close to Botswana. And he lived there for a while, a mission station there. And he was set aside or set apart from the other missionaries because the way he interacted with the local people. So much so that at one stage, some of the other Afrikaans farmers came and they burned down the station where he was. And they chased him out because he preached the gospel of equality. He said, if we are brothers with the local people in Christ, and so we should treat them the same. And that already that lived in his heart. And that's the gospel that does that. The gospel elevates us above our culture. The gospel elevates us even above our time. What was interesting about Livingstone is he wasn't like a missionary like you would normally find. He was an explorer. He was a medical doctor. And at one stage he said this. He said, I'm serving Christ when shooting a buffalo for my men or taking an observation, even if some will consider it not sufficiently or even at all missionary. And I like that. It challenges our idea as to what does it mean that God can use us. My soccer playing skills, my accounting skills, all of that, if done unto God with the intention God used this, that is missionary work. And so we were very privileged to be able to spend some time on that site and to sort of follow in his footsteps a little bit and trusting God that God will redeem his entire legacy. Of course, you know, Livingstone died there. He disappeared for many years. Eventually was found by Stanley, disappeared again. And he died then eventually when his porters, when they found him kneeling next to his bed. He had died in prayer. Incredible pain in his intestines and suffered from a lot of diseases for a long time, but said, I need to finish my assignment in Africa. And so they sent his body back home to Scotland. But the people in that area, I think it was in Zambia, they kept his heart because they said his body belongs in Scotland, but his heart belongs in Africa. So they buried his heart in Africa. And I was thinking about us, and I was thinking about us as South Africans, and I was thinking about so many of you guys, because when we arrived there, where were we? We were, I think we met the governor, the administrator. And so Pastor Reese was telling him that we are from South Africa. And it's like, well, Africa. It just didn't make sense to him. Mzungu, Africa, this white man, Africa. It doesn't make sense. Like, yes, we're sons from Africa. Africa's in our blood. Amen. We belong to this continent. And I believe that for many of us, we need to, again, just get back to that place where we need to realign our hearts with God's purpose for Africa. God has placed us in. He brought Dutch people here, German people here, English people here from all across the globe. People from northern parts of Africa melted us together. By the way, I got upgraded. My status in Burundi got upgraded to Mzungu, right? So I'm driving there, walking, Mzungu, Mzungu. Everybody is calling Mzungu, Mzungu. White man, white man. So we felt like at one stage screaming as well, Yankor and I, yes, we are Mzungu. So Yankor would run in the morning, crazy man that he was, would run in the mornings. And then as he's running, then kids would scream, Mzungu, Mzungu. And so the last day he decided he's going to run and scream, Mzungu, Mzungu, as he's running. And so everybody just laughed and stopped calling him that. So Africa's in our blood. Amen. God has got a purpose for South Africa. So I find it significant that Livingstone had to go through South Africa, receive a lot of his vision here for the rest of Africa. And I believe, guys, that some of us in this room, we've got to pray again. And Francie mentioned it, purpose. Why were you here? Why were you born in South Africa, not in Australia? Why are you still here? Why did God place you here in this town, in this country, and in this continent? One of the highlights for us, we obviously ministered a lot, preached a lot, ministered on spiritual stuff, but was the day that together with Bruno, so Bruno, Erica's brother, joined us for a couple of days, and he's an agronomist, I think that's the way you pronounce it, grondkundige. And so as we were walking up to the church, he was collecting stuff, all sorts of different stuff along the road, putting it in his bag, and he was going to, next slide, with a tree. So he's cutting stuff off and using that to teach people biblical principles on farming God's way. I think some of you guys have heard farming God's way. And it was amazing once again to see the difference that such a simple teaching makes, because all of those pastors, they don't get paid, right? And so they have to sustain themselves because there's not enough money for them to be paid. So they all do it as tent makers. So they're either fishermen or they are farmers. And so we had a day organized where we had about 50 farmers from the church as well as from the local community and government officials that came. And Bruno taught them amazing principles that that to be a farmer is a holy calling. That God has called us to steward the ground. That he has called us to lean and to rely upon his principles. And that if we follow God, if we break with ancestry and we break with habits and practices that destroy the earth, God will bless us, will increase our crops. And it was incredible to see the response of the people. Many of them afterwards said, many of the pastors, whoa, we didn't know the stuff was in the Bible. We didn't know that God has got so much to say about the ground, because they would just use the ground. Obviously, they plant stuff, but they would often burn it afterwards and plant the same thing, the same ground over and over. So deforestation is a massive problem. Soil erosion is a massive problem. Mudslides are coming down there all the time after it's rained. It's washed away one of the churches. And so here we are being able to, there's a guy, not we, of course we were there together, but Bruno was teaching practical things, and it was just as powerful as the sermon on the condition of your heart. Because everything is spiritual, amen? Everything is spiritual. And it was so amazing to see a man that is anointed doing what God has called him to do. And so there's leading by example, and they're making a compost heap, and something we all take for granted, but they were blown away by the basic principles around how to make compost. And one of the government officials told us, man, you should have invited the entire province, he says. You should have invited the entire province, because we've just started to roll this out now from the north of Burundi, how to make compost, better ways in which to do it, how to use the things that you have around you. So they're very eager for us to come back. And so Bruno is going to put together a task team, and we're hoping to follow up that meeting with a few regular visits to Burundi. So there's the compost heap. Everybody's together, very excited about this. And it was incredible just to see their response and the enthusiasm and what the Lord is doing there. So the government also thanked us and said, normally the farmers think that looking after the ground is the government's responsibility. Now they realize it's their responsibility. They have to steward the land. There Bruno is busy calibrating a little contraption that he made, which would help there at the back you will see the little pathway there. That's actually soil erosion that's taking place there. And so Bruno helped them just to make that very simple contraption, which they can use to determine whether the ground is level, and they would use it to build contours on the hills. Map out contours, plant on the contours, and so prevent the ground from eroding. Basic stuff, but life-changing. I'm like, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. So one of the church services, just to give you an idea. So there's everybody worshiping together, singing, rejoicing. Yeah, man, we're church in there. It was amazing. So much fun just to see the enthusiasm. And I realized that, you know, there's in the natural so little that these people should be joyful about. I mean, I think it's 2 out of 5 people that are HIV/AIDS positive. The malnutrition rate is through the roof. The mortality rate is something crazy. Poverty is immense, second poorest country in Africa. And yet there's so much joy when they come together. A church is one of the highlights for them of their, well, probably the highlight. Because they come together, they fellowship with one another, they share God's word, And I was challenged by that. You know, the joy with which people come together and they walk for miles to get there. And nobody forces them to be there. And I was just challenged when I come to the house of the Lord. It's my work, right? Part of what I'm doing. But in my heart, do I have that joy? This is beautiful scripture that says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. He says, still something inside of me that leaps with joy when I think about coming together with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there's one of the signs, Shofar Christian Community Church, and that's the name that they've registered the church with. And community is a powerful word for them because it speaks about unity, it speaks about fellowship, where all the different tribes who for many, many years were blowing one another up, shooting one another, killing each other, are now coming together prophetically within one church, and it's amazing. Oh, that red cross on that sign, this is a government they've made. They've identified a lot of places alongside the road. They're going to expand the road, and so that is going to be demolished a little bit later on. All right, so there we're hiking up, going up to the high place, going up to church. Next slide there as well, just walking up. And then as you go, you meet a lot of people and you interact with them. So there's an old guy and his family. So as we're walking up, they're greeting people and just sharing God's love with him. And I wondered about this a little bit, and I thought, man, it would sort of be interesting, wouldn't it, if we would come to church a little bit slower and have our eyes open to the people next to the road. On the day physically, but maybe even just in the week, slowing down and just thinking about my journey to church. Who is next to me on the road relationally? Who's next to me on the road physically? We are in such a hurry that I think sometimes we miss out, and I'm speaking to myself, beautiful opportunities along the way. Thank you, Gerard. So we arrive right at the top. There's Rico Panswe taking a selfie. So there's the lake down there at the bottom. Again, the photos don't do the height justice. And there's a picture. All those buildings they've built themselves. They've made the bricks themselves. They are amazing, resourceful people. What was also amazing about our brothers and sisters there in Burundi is they don't ask for handouts. There's no spirit of victimhood amongst them. In actual fact, they call themselves the white people of Burundi. We're like, no. You don't have to call yourselves that, but say, we want to call ourselves that so we know we're not looking to other white people to come and rescue us. We are the white people of Burundi. And in other words, it's spirit of excellence and entrepreneurship. We want that. And that was so amazing. So they've built all of those buildings themselves. If you get the building up to a certain height, then the government comes and they give you government iron sheets for the roof. So there's a school that they've built and some classrooms, an intercession room as well. Right, so okay, I'm just finding my internal switch. Switch off the tears. Right, so there we have the kids in the primary school. So amazing again. The church has an obligation placed on them by government. Whenever you plant a church, you have to government forces you to register the church. You have to build within 2 years. You need to build a building, and you need to show that you are making a difference in the community in a way to stamp out all the guys that come up and extort people for money and force them to eat grass and all that nonsense. So it's very highly regulated. At this present moment, it counts in the church's favor because the president is Christian. Obviously, if a non-Christian government were to come into play, then the dynamics might change. But at this present moment, there is a lot of favor on the churches. So they've built the school, and the government then give the teachers. So there are two teachers working at the school. These little kids come to school there. They're from the church family and also from the community. They eat once a day, maybe twice a day. So most of them arrive at school without having eaten anything, and then they would eat again later afternoon. So a massive need when we take teams again would be for somebody who's a dietitian to go along with us, somebody that has any connections that can help us with thinking about something nutritional that's easy to make, easy to mix, so we can at least feed those kids. So the church wants to feed them, but they don't have the resources to do so. So those kids come and study on an empty stomach. On average, kids go to school only 4, maybe 5 years in Burundi. But there is a focus on the next generation. Right? If we can impact those kids, they're busy learning English, they're busy learning math. If you go back to the previous slide, Carol, you see this boy sitting here in the right-hand corner. There are a heap of little stones there, pebbles. That's how they learn to count, with little stones, because that's what they have. And then the kindergarten are the kids with the orange uniforms on. So Pastor Avery's wife, she made the uniform for them. So they've got the shofar color going there as well. All right, and so they've got a need for a team that goes again to help them to finish the building, put in some windows, seal the building, maybe lay a cement floor for them as well. Massive need for school curriculum and for some help with training the teachers. If I were 20 years younger as a teacher, I would have loved to have gone there. All right, so we really want to take some more professional people with us when we go in future. And so please speak to me if you have a heart and there's something in you that you think can help us in terms of education, maybe even agriculture and entrepreneurship especially. Just a picture quickly of a baptism. So we all gathered. So we have church right at the top. Then we walk for about 30 minutes. We walk down again to the lake to baptize all the pastors and some of the other people who've said they want to be baptized. So there's a picture just of guys coming out of the water. It's amazing. So obviously everything you do, there's a lot of singing first that goes along with it. A lot of singing and amazing songs that they sing. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about living for the kingdom, not living for yourself. Even if the world rejects me, Jesus is my shelter. Just incredible to see their love for our King. There we are afterwards, as all of us who've baptized, just coming together thanking God. Each person who got baptized received a bunch of flowers, which they just took there from the mountain. That's all that they have to give. But they want to celebrate those that get baptized. So at one stage, when we drove back home, we asked the pastor, because we're standing there by the lake and we see everybody, or many people sort of, they look at the water and they look a little bit worried. So we thought it's because they're afraid of the water and they can't swim. The captain saying, don't go in too deep, don't go in too deep. And so we asked the pastor, so the people in Burundi, can't they swim? Are they afraid of the water? It's like, no. Pastor Avery's got this word, this way of saying, no, no. He says, no. Hippo. Hippo. Yes, yesterday morning, hippo bit somebody in the water. But not there, just a little around the corner. Like, oh yeah, all right. Yes, that's why people are afraid of the water then. We were like mzungus going in there, you know, swimming and doing our thing. And yeah, but not there, just around the corner. Yeah, so no, they're not afraid of the water. The hippo. But he's gone now. And so we went, after baptism, we went back up to church, got dressed again, some other clothes, and there we're praying for the pastors who are now being dedicated and consecrated to the Lord. And we just prayed over their marriages. We prayed over their callings, prayed for them. They're standing with their wives. And I was reminded of Paul saying to Timothy not to despise the gift that is inside of him that resides within Timothy through the laying on of Paul's hands. And I was thinking again of so many of us in this room. At one stage or another, we had somebody praying for us. We had somebody prophesying over us. We had somebody consecrating us, setting us aside for a purpose. And I want to encourage you to think back to those moments and say to you, do not despise those days. Do not despise those moments, because that calling is real inside of you. For them as pastors, for you as an engineer, for you as a mom, as a dad, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart. Has there been a moment when you've been set aside for God? Somebody prayed for you, but you have a purpose in your life. Pursue that. Dust that off and bring it before the Lord again. So we ended off praying for Pastor Everest and his wife, Gorath. Again, beautiful couple. Yeah, they're such an inspiration, guys. Just their humility, the way that they submit even to us, and just the way that they love Jesus and wanting to do what's best for the kingdom of God. So we prayed for Shofar Burundi, welcomed them into the family, blessed them, asked God to to take them to the next level and to really empower them for everything you has called them to do. Okay, and then I quickly want to show you the one that says prophetic prayer of reconciliation. We did a session with them on the condition of your heart. And just encourage them, if there's anything in your heart that you need to deal with as a pastor, it's not what manifests on the outside, it's what's inside of you that determines your destiny and your calling and your authority. Turn to one another and just pray. And so I want to show you that clip quickly. So they're all praying for one another, and he actually asked them, Hutu, Tutsi, different tribes, come together, and let's pray prophetically that God breaks the spirit of tribalism over us, that we would be one. So we're praying prayers of forgiveness over one another, standing in the gap, and it was amazing to see the responsiveness. So when we asked, will you guys turn to one another, pray, there they go. It was incredible to see that. So please continue to pray for them. Elections are coming up next year. Things are a little bit on the tense side as well. Everywhere we went, we saw a lot of military and police with AK-47s and rocket launchers and all sorts of things, walking around, driving around. But there are amazing things happening in the country. There is peace right now, but we also need to pray the Lord will continue to just bless the church. They really looked after us very well. We lived at their house and went out of their way to really just bless us. All the churches came together and brought food and just we had duck at one stage. It was alive the previous day. It was in the back of the car. One pastor just decided he wants to bless us, took one, gave it to us. It was incredible. Never ate so many bananas in my life. Never drank so much Fanta in my life. There's like a Fanta flavor that they have there. What's the thing called? Citro. Yes, lovely Fanta. I was thankful for the Kingdom of Coke, who's everywhere in Africa. But they really blessed us, went out of their way. And I was, again, just thinking, Lucas coming to dinner. It's coming up soon. I want to encourage you guys. Detail is there at the back. Please register for that. Let us share our meals. Let's share our hearts with one another. Let's practice again the gift of hospitality, because it is such a gift. The Lord has blessed us to share life together. And then I want to encourage all of us to take a leap of faith this year. Trust God to do something crazy. Right? There we are. So the guy that has the green pants on, there at the front, can you all see him? Sort of, he's there at the front. That's not me, all right? Just in case you were wondering. So Gerard asked me, was the Burundian food that lovely? Right, so there at the, that's not me. So we're all standing on this terrace thing. The last day, they decided to treat us, take us to a resort. At first, Pastor Everest disappeared the morning because he had to go and find fuel. Every so often, there's no fuel, then you're stuck. So he drove around for about 2 hours trying to find fuel. Eventually, went to the office of the president. One of his foster sons works there. It's a general or something up there. Got permission to get some fuel. Put the fuel in. Then we drove over potholes galore. Took us another 2 hours to get to this place, but it was absolutely worth it to arrive there. And a lot of fun. Prayed with the pastor, sang together, and then we all jumped off this terrace into the water, which was amazing. Just taking that leap. As we were swimming as well, at one stage, the ladies on the beach start getting a little bit excited, and they're like, Come out, hippo. So now you're not sure whether they're serious or what's going on there. But then we see the other pastors now also getting out of the water. And so we had swum from there towards the beach, which is this side. Janko had gone back just a little bit earlier. It was before this incident. Janko had gone back because we wanted to get him to see how deep it is going down there. So Janko had swum back. We were sort of close to the shore. Then the ladies start getting very excited and screaming, "Hippo, Hippo," and calling us to come out of the water. Janko can't hear a thing. Now I'm not sure, are they serious or not? Is it really hippo? Because we can't see the hippo. Do we now make a lot of noise? So Janko starts panicking. And then we just calm, say, "Janko, come. So I think we sort of found a middle way there and just called him. He swam out. Fortunately, he's a good swimmer. So now I'm still not sure whether it really was a hippo. They said that was a hippo. Can't see hippo. We go around to the other side, and there it's a hippo. It gets out of the water. And he yawns, opens up his mouth, and suddenly my legs go a little bit yaw. That was, he was really there. And so we went afterwards, saw his footprints in the water. Water's crystal clear. We could see he was probably about 5 or 7 meters away from where Jankor was. So it was. So jumping into the water, we just said, "Come on, we're here. Let's do it one last time. Jump in, swim out as quickly as we can." But it was a lot of fun. So I want to encourage you guys this year. Please, let's pray for Burundi. Let's pray for the beautiful nation. We have an opportunity. If you reach Burundi, we reach Tanzania, we reach Congo, we reach Zambia. What else is close there? Malawi. So many of them. All right. And just very quickly, it all started with a mission team that went to Malawi many years ago. And this pastor in Malawi knew this pastor in Burundi, phoned him and said, "We had this crazy team from South Africa was there. They're amazing. Please, if you want mission teams, contact them." It was 5 years ago. And from there, a beautiful relationship grew. And so we're going to keep you up to date with when we go again. But I really want to ask you guys, pray about what God has placed in your heart, whether it's Burundi, Mozambique, Garden Village, Jamestown, Yaldaview, whatever it is. There's something that lives in your heart that your community needs. Right? Some of us have been called to pray. Some of us have been called to give. But all of us have been called to go. Amen? And whether we go to our neighbor next door, whether we go to the guy on the other side of the office, whether we go to another nation, that is our calling, part of our DNA. And it's such a privilege to be part of a praying church and a going church. So I'm going to ask us, we're going to take communion. And I want you guys to join with me in prayer. Ushers, do we have the communion stuff ready? Are we good? No, we're not good for communion. Okay, no. What is God off me? Can we stand? So I would like us to just join in prayer for a couple of minutes. Okay, while we wait, just play the one that is on way back home through traffic, please, Carol.
Zoals het op pad terug naar een heerlijke dag bij Sinai, lekker geëet. Na een lange dag van teaching. Maar goed gegaan. Ons is nogal eens zo'n lekker intense verkeer op pad terug. Hij is toen in veilige handen van Pastor Everest. Zo, motorfietstaxis.
Mama, kom mee.
Die vier daar stap je.
Strive Masiwa.
It's not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah.
We're bold, we're brave, we're decisive.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Okay, this is just to give you an idea of some of the roads there. I think that was one of our better days as well. But I would like us just now, let's take a few minutes. We're not going to have communion. Let's turn to one another and please, let's pray for the nation of Burundi. I think let's thank God for what he's doing in our nation. Then let's thank God also for the gospel that's spreading into Africa. Let's thank him for being part of Africa. Amen. God has placed us here. God has got a purpose for Africa. And God has got a purpose for each one of us to play within Africa. And God will show us what that purpose is. I think some of you guys know that already in your heart. Maybe some of you like Francie, you're like, yeah, maybe there's a big cosmic plan, but I'm not sure what my purpose is. Ask God for that. Ask God what, let's pray for one another for our individual callings as couples, callings as a church. And let's just bring our hearts before him and say to God, God, this year I'm going to take a leap of faith. I want to jump into that water. Might be hippo or two. Greg shared with me that he swam with a shark yesterday, right? So a shark or a hippo, you know, they're always a challenge somewhere. Are we going to prevent the sharks from keeping us surfing, the hippo from keeping us jumping, our fear from keeping us to step out in faith to the Lord? I'm going to pray for us, then I'm going to ask that we turn to one another and just pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for your incredible heart of compassion for our beautiful continent, Lord. You love Africa. Lord, and I thank you that you have placed each one of us here on this beautiful continent, God. Lord, in that you have a purpose and a destiny for us. I'm going to thank you for this church. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can be a going church, Lord, a church that can go to the nations of the world, Lord, a church that can love our neighbors next door, a church, Lord, that in our very DNA can exist, not for ourselves, but for those who don't know you yet. So, Father, today we come with thankfulness in our hearts that we've got such amazing privileges in this nation, Lord. For the most part, Lord, things work very well. For the most part, Father God, we've got all our basic needs covered as we're in this room today. We've got so much that we've received from you, and we are thankful for that. We know that you are such a good daddy, and you give that to us willingly and freely. Please show us, Holy Spirit, today, Lord, our place in your heart. Father, as we pray for Burundi, as we pray for Africa, God, may our prayers line up with what you are praying in the right hand of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get a hold of somebody and let's start praying. It's a few minutes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.